Welcome, After Buzzers. You're watching the after show for Queen Sugar, where tonight we talk the Davis fallout, Raw and Dollar's turmoil, and Vi's prize pies. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? We are back for another exciting after show of Queen Sugar. Everyone's fired up. I love it.
I'm ringing the alarm on some people in this episode.
Oh, my God. What
an episode. I just want to pray. There's a lot going on.
Okay.
I'm ready.
They really amped it up. Well, you know, on that note.
I feel like we need to go like this.
I'm trying to crump right now.
Yo, that's why you crumping.
Oh, sorry, girl. My bad.
Well, we got a hype in the studio today, but just to introduce ourselves again, my name is Shaka Smith.
Yo!
She's
that's
back.
All that's
She's
needed.
Back.
She's
gonna
here.
Be back, y'all. She's gonna be back. It's your girl, Miss Candy Marie. Had to come back with the hair because we ringing the alarm. What's up? Let's go, Sally.
Hey, ya tú sabes, all the girls are curly tonight. I love it. Your favorite Afro Latina is your friend, Sally Chame. Hey, y'all.
He has curls. He's my, you know, cool. You know.
I was just saying the girl.
It's another curly girl, of course. Takira Shabray.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm so excited because tonight we got some great segments for you. Got our cultural corner, our sweet tweets, and of course our predictions later on. But again, let's just get into the show. What were your overall thoughts of this show? We're like mid-season here, a little past mid-season. What are you guys thinking?
The trifulness has continued.
Is that a word?
It's continued, and I just made it up because this is real. Like, the trifling, you know what? I thought that if I left last week and I came back this week, that maybe, just maybe, things would get better, but I was wrong. I was wrong. Sally, what's up?
We'll just go alley-oop it over here. Let me catch it. Listen, let me tell you something about this episode. Exactly how we came in this episode, that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like I'm ready to punch some people. Davis is trifling. Nova and Remy is trifling. You know, Ralph Angel's trifling, yelling at this little boy. I mean, overall, I'm just ready to fight somebody.
Right.
That's how this episode got me feeling. Ooh.
Some nerves were worse, for sure. And I feel like there were a lot of bossy moments, too. Like, there were people kind of stepping outside of their boundaries a little bit, trying to give the snaps and trying to control some stuff. A little sassy, but yeah, I feel the same. All of this.
Yeah, I found myself, I was angry during a lot of the episode. It was like the angst, you know, just you know, pushing things forward. But I did love that Micah moment, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, at least I got to watch my anger play through on screen. I was like, okay, finally, I feel a little
I'm
bit
so
better.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was about to say I was going to pull a Micah on somebody. I was going to grab somebody's flag and pull a Micah.
Right on the ground.
Micah was pulling Micah.
Yeah, that was a nice part for the show for me tonight. But let's just get into it. We've got to talk about the fallout from Davis. Of course, we really opened with that scene with Charlie, which is... beautiful scene, but like you start to see that pain, and she's dealing with a lot of stuff this episode where I felt like things were happening, but she was still the entire episode dealing with this pain of Davis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of anger underneath. I just want to say shout outs to the popping gray nails.
Yes.
Her nails were, I know she's in pain, but I had a girl moment. I was like, ooh.
That's what you do when you're in pain. Go get your nails done.
Right? That was a great color. I love the color.
Great color.
Amazing color.
Back to the serious stuff. But it just goes to show that grief, the different from last week to this week, how grief goes in different layers and levels, and how pain hits you in different ways, and it goes through sadness. Like she was in such a emotional, like, rock bottom last week, and now she's gone into the phase of just anger, and she's taking it out on everybody.
Anger and isolation.
And I just want to say this. I felt like she had a waiting to exhale moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was definitely, like, that is what I saw. I was like, she's having a waiting to exhale moment. I'm going to let her have that moment. I'm not going to talk
trash
about that moment. But honestly, it was so well deserved. And it taught me some things, because I just felt like sometimes our anger doesn't always have to be loud. Sometimes you just gotta grab something. You just gotta burn that shit.
And I mean, I know we'll get there, but at the end, like, and when she was burning it, she just, like, I mean, we could have just thought that, oh, she's just relaxing by a lovely fire for the evening. Okay, there's things in that fire that, and then she just sat there peacefully.
Everything.
And it was so symbolic. Everything. Yeah, I thought it was just, because she probably kept a lot of that stuff because to honor the time when things were good, but then you realize it was never good.
Right.
And I love the way fire kind of plays up in this entire show. We had the bonfire for Ernest, and sort of that release of past hurt and, like...
It represents transition.
Yeah.
Candace, you in my head though, because I definitely put when she said 13 years, I wanted a cue in Mary J. Blige. I don't want to cry. Oh, wait, yeah. To exhale. I said she just needs to breathe for a second. Like mm-hmm. she's just. She has all this stuff that she's bottled inside and she's just vomiting and she just needs to exhale and breathe for a second because it's just gonna, it's becoming too much and I don't want to see her make really bad decisions yeah. based on her being able to not handle it.
And I'm so glad you said that because speaking of really bad decisions... I think she's kind of already in the midst of making a really, really bad decision with Jacob. Like, what is going on there? Like,
she's honestly, ignoring his calls.
I'm not a fan yeah. of it. Look, well, I'm not a fan of it. I don't want to see it happen. I don't like him. He's a creepy guy. He's a snake. And I just feel like because she's in such a vulnerable place, I really hope that she doesn't get bit. She kind of already, she already tasted a little bit.
Well, she is ignoring the phone call.
Yeah,
which I like.
She's not.
And I think at this point now, because I mean, again, I thought, you know, things were happening this episode for her where she was actively involved, but it was all in her brain. You could almost feel it. Every scene, but now she at least knows with the surveyor that you know Jacob's trying to play her. Ooh. So at least before she did fall in the bed, she really knows she's trying to he's trying to play her in this situation
all day. And there's no greater feeling than to catch someone before they try to catch you.
Ooh, girl.
Like, and catch you in a sense of catch you up in things, not really catch you doing anything you're not supposed to be doing, but catch you up in some stuff that you know you ain't supposed to be in.
And did anyone catch, I mean, did anyone catch her facial expression when she asked that guy for the card?
Mm-hmm.
It, to me, it was, she was breaking from all angles. It was such an emotional, you know, it wasn't just about him and the card and the surveyor at that moment.
Right, but you know what, somehow I feel like we are going to see a new Charlie emerge and she is going to get her power back. Because I think that somewhere along the line, she got a little distracted.
Yes.
She got a little distracted with everything that was going on. You know, she got a 1%. There were a lot of firsts for Charlie that we've seen throughout all three of these seasons. But I think that through this pain, she's going to grab her strength back. She's going to stand up tall. She's going to remember her why.
Yeah.
Don't forget your why.
I do have a question for y'all, though. I don't know if you guys felt this in this moment, but at the beginning of the episode, when Micah didn't want to talk about the Davis situation and he asked her, well, how are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm fine. I was like, well, herein lies the problem. You need to tell your son you're not fine.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that moment?
That's depression. You know what? A lot of people think suppressing feelings or showing too many feelings around kids is a bad thing and it opens them up to so many. And Chuck, I think you might be on that boat a little bit.
Yeah, that's a boat I'm on.
Yeah, so
but he's
I'm
grown.
actually going to go the opposite way. Yeah, I'm actually going to go the opposite way. I just wanted to acknowledge that I understand where you're about to come from. Yeah. But my mom was so ridiculously, like she forced me to be so ridiculously open. I mean, like I told her everything. And when I say everything, I mean from first sexual experience to before when I was thinking about first sexual experience. I'm like, I told her it all. And it wasn't until the moment that I got married when I realized things align a different way when it comes to parents, mom, and, you know, marriage. You know, marriage comes first and then, you know, family outside. But I think if they would have had that vulnerable moment, yes, it would have been difficult, but it's almost like ignoring those feelings, and those feelings can turn into something even uglier if they're suppressed. So
yes.
I think it wasn't healthy initially for her, but I think it was healthy for Micah. We feel like Micah's grown, but Micah just came off that traumatic experience. He's still kind of struggling with himself. David, this is a thing. This is also a trauma for Micah himself. He's got a sister. So in her mind, she's like, he's dealing with so much. I have different schools now. I don't need him to also take on my pain that I'm feeling. And her pain, if she were to really let go, she might just completely crash, you know?
And you know what? One thing I want to say, and I'm glad you said that, but I have to low-key disagree because I don't want us to forget how strong this family is. Someone in the chat said, how much more can Charlie take? Well, I think that one of the things that I do love that our writers have started to do with this season is we've started to see a maturity, you know, through our characters. And I feel like... honestly, I agree with you. I think she should open up. I think she should tell him exactly how she feels rather than internalizing it, because right now I feel like he is the closest person to her. Right. He is the one person that understands more than anyone.
Yes. Right.
Stop looking at the fact that he's your child and look at the fact that he is a young man.
He's smart.
He's intelligent. Very. And more than anything, I think that she can have that mature conversation with him because he is hurting too. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a moment that they both need to share together.
And it doesn't have to be because discernment. on the parental part.
Yes.
She doesn't have to sit here and bash his father and talk bad about him, which is a mistake that a lot of mothers make, of speaking very negative about
their
parents, period.
Yeah.
I think just being honest and saying, I feel really hurt, I'm really disappointed, I don't know how to handle this, how are you?
And that's okay.
And that, I think, should have been.
I think if she could have done that, that would have been the best way to go. Yes. I don't think she could have.
You don't think she was ready? You think it was more anger and she didn't want to
know how?
I think if she released that first little bit of emotion, the house of cards would have come falling down.
Okay, yeah. I get that. Okay,
I
cool.
I can
so sometimes like you're like protecting him, but you're also going, if I start to go in on this, it might just be madness for him and I don't need him to see this, you know?
I still would have. I still would have taken it there. Because everything that I'm feeling, I'm 99% sure you were probably feeling too, just a little differently, because obviously we have the same relationship. But yeah, I piggybacking on that vulnerable moment.
Yeah, I just think if you had, I think if you had the mature child and you're in a space that you can comfortably share it in a way that it's not going to badly affect him, that's the best way to go. But I just don't think she was there. I don't even think Micah's there. I think Micah is still traumatized.
He was
still
ignoring
needs
her.
To like, yeah.
Yeah, so. He was ignoring her for sure.
But yeah, I love that whole arc. But then we got Vi's prize pies. We had some positivity in the episode, which is really beautiful.
Bring the positivity back, guys.
Like, that's the one thing I love. They always keep Vi in Hollywood, even when they have their own little troubles. They're kind of the bright spot of every episode, so I can at least know when to smile for that.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad that you brought it to a positive place, because one thing that I wrote down in my notes is that Vi is giving us life in this episode. Yay. There were so many amazing moments, so many teaching moments, and it's so amazing. Again, writer. I love what you're doing, because it's so great to see that matriarch of the family, you know, give those life lessons, and for her to share that with Nova, and for Nova to sit there and to listen. And, you know, like, I have so many moments written down. You know, my mama raised me to be a wife and not a mother. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't what I wanted. You know, just to see the evolution of Vi, and for her to come into her own, and now she's a businesswoman. She's more than just Aunt Vi. We're seeing her. There's so many different levels to her. So I'm glad that we're peeling those levels back and we're starting to see that.
And it's a good representation. That age does not matter.
Yeah, because you feel like you're
step into your purpose at any time.
You feel like you're witnessing someone in their prime stepping into their purpose, just because that's what it is. That's what it looks like when you find your purpose. You're as young as ever.
Yes.
So yeah, that was one of my favorite.
It's a vibrant energy coming from her. She's smiling more.
Love her.
Lupus doesn't seem to be like it's. It's like, I'm starting to forget that she has lupus a little bit.
Yeah. And it's nice to hear some of that, the wisdom she's able to impart to Nova, who we know is going, and she can even see Nova's going through something.
Right. The only thing that was scary for me was that moment when she says, people don't need to know that I have a weakness.
Mm. Yeah.
That as a black woman, she feels like she can't show her weakness or her vulnerability. And I think that that is an issue that happens in the black community, not just with black women, but colored people in general, Latinos, you know, all of it. And for me, I was with Nova on this one. Like, there are so many people that are out there that are hurting, that are suffering, that are going after dreams, and to know that you're pushing through, and how do you handle it? How do you manage? I think that's something that folks need to hear. A lot of times, especially in a social media world, we're seeing everyone's highlight reels. We're seeing everyone just being successful and happy and traveling and eating at the best restaurants, but we don't know how they're making that happen.
Yeah.
Ooh, come on. What kind of hustles do they have?
Come
like,
on.
I may be at the Ivy, but you don't know I'm hustling for jobs to be at the Ivy.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, if people would be a lot more transparent about their testimony, it would help people understand how to navigate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't go through things. Like, my mama always told me, you don't go through things for you. Everything that happens to you is not for you.
Ooh,
it is always
come on,
for
somebody.
Other people to realize that it's possible.
I just told Candy that on the phone the other day.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. Hey, girl. You know what? Everybody need a friend.
Right.
That's going to tell you.
Oh, so now I'm your real friend?
Yeah. Okay, you know what, y'all? We're going to talk. I'm going to tell y'all at the end of the show what this one was doing. But you know, that's what friends be doing sometimes.
But
right?
I think it's just very generational. I think we have such an access to get a fuller picture of the story. Like, I think there are motivational people on Instagram and Twitter and this and that, and that are providing their full story. But for someone like Vi, who's not into that world, like, any sense of weakness might mean you're not going to be invited to the boardroom or to the meeting or to the other opportunity. And so I think it's very generational. I think the weakness was looked on differently, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and she still got the mentality that she was raised with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess my question, what I think about as we're having this conversation, is what is too much? At what point is it just like, man, like, I have to take this off of me and allow it to be, like, somebody else to help me carry this burden? Like, what is too much?
Yeah.
Like we need to have that conversation more. Like, somebody else put in the chat, she mentioned therapy. you know, like, at what point do we say, you know what, if I can't carry this, if I don't feel comfortable giving this to my family, what if I can step outside of my family and seek professional help?
Yeah.
That's another conversation that needs to be had, because therapy, anything attached to professional help, is looked at in such a negative way.
Yes. And that just
why
takes,
is that?
Because of our elders. Our elders didn't get the therapy, and they still raise us. So we think to ourselves, well, they did it, I got to do it the same way they did. But they did it out of necessity. They probably didn't even have the resources to go to therapy.
Yes.
But we do.
I think a lot of the times, too, like, parents and family members, they're so hurt that when they see someone hurting or going through or whatever, their first reaction is to cover them. Oh, it's okay. Like, you'll get through this. This is a phase, blah, blah, blah. And they kind of take on this responsibility of helping that person. But what I've personally had to realize, and because I actually just stepped into this bubble of sharing your story and your testimony. Yeah. So it's a new thing for me. But those people have to realize it's okay that you aren't necessarily the one to help me. It's okay that you can't help me. It's okay that you're not the specific person I need to speak to, but the fact that you care enough to help me get the resources, like you said, in order to get that help, like the therapy or things that you maybe not know about, but we can learn together.
Right.
At the end of the day, we just need to make sure that person gets help in whatever shape, form, or fashion that they need. And whether for Aunt Vi, that's doing stuff and like finding things to do, or finding that one person, like possibly the, you know, the gentleman she had the meeting with, to help her get closer to her light, and it's not necessarily her family to tell her to just sit down somewhere.
Right.
You know, so be it.
But I think we're undergoing like a cultural change, especially minorities, in terms of getting help and being part of conversations that I was thinking today about Terry Crews and how he went in front of Congress to deliver his Me Too moment.
Oh,
but
beautiful.
Then you have that post by 50 Cent that's like, hey, you're basically, you know, soft for doing this. And 50 Cent is a cultural leader.
I didn't even know that
happened.
Oh,
yeah, huge. And so he's a cultural leader. And so we clearly still have these divisions in our minority communities of seeking help, being part of a conversation that progresses people along.
What masculinity really
what does it
means,
look like?
What it looks like. Like, what? So,
and the same thing for Aunt Vi, like going for help, reaching out for different resources. Is that weakness? No, it's actually strength when you can do that. But that's
your
a conversation
voice,
we're still
you
having
what?
In our community.
This is to 50 Cent.
Right.
First of all, his name is 50 Cent, and your opinion is worth by 50 Cent. Anyway, I want to say I appreciate, since we're, you know, and this is not to deviate away from the topic, I appreciate the way that he handled it.
Yes.
I think he handled it like a grown-ass man.
Yes.
End of story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just a conversation. I love that they're highlighting that we have these different ebbs and flows and mm-hmm. pushbacks and pullbacks.
Love it.
But we also have some great news from, is it Takira?
From me,
it was for me. I'm gonna toss it on to Sally because you know I think it's great news too.
It's
I
me.
Think it's great
hey,
news.
Hey, after buzzers,
we need your
so
support.
I just want to let you know that here at the network, we produce after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas to reality to sci-fi and more. There's no other network that works harder to serve television fans than us right here. But now we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Besides helping us a ton, here's what it's in for you. It caters specific content that you already will be directed to. It brings you to your favorite shows, your favorite after shows, and you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. So subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows. We're sure that you're gonna love. Since you're already tuned in to AfterBuzz TV dramas, which is what Queen Sugar is on, you'll also love shows like the show Takira's on, 13 Reasons Why, or the show I'm on, The Six, right after this. So, and when you subscribe to After TV dramas, it'll direct you to one of those as well. So that's the cool thing about doing it. And if you're worried about notifications, don't worry. They're optional. It's easy. Just hit that subscribe button and stay tuned with us right here at AfterBuzz TV.
We're talking to you, Carmen Williams, Marianne Jordan, Hampton Blue, y'all in the chat. Go ahead and subscribe.
Yes, all you guys.
No, but literally, I subscribed today. I didn't realize I wasn't subscribed because I've been subscribed to AfterBuzz TV, but not to AfterBuzz TV dramas.
You know,
So,
I just subscribed today, too. And you know
look
what?
At y'all.
I'm seeing Sally.
Yeah.
Sally's notifications right now.
Yeah, like, my notifications are popping up all the time.
Oh, my God, I love it.
And when you do subscribe, it asks you if you want the notifications or not, so you can turn them off. So, yeah.
Turn them off.
Turn them on. But just subscribe.
But yeah. Since you're subscribing, you know.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Right.
No, I'm just looking at your pretty face.
Okay, so don't talk to me.
iTunes, guys, listen. There's another way that you can subscribe and listen to our show. You can comment. You can like. Show us some love, because I think we talk about some pretty good stuff.
Five stars. You know? Give us five stars. But you want to give us four? We understand.
No,
but
you
give
us four, we comment.
Never mind. I went through it. Yay, shout out to Maya. She said she just subscribed.
Yes. Thank you.
Maya. Thank you.
Awesome. You guys are amazing. But some more not so amazing stuff from Queen Sugar. we had Ra and Darla going at it, and probably the most words they've exchanged all season. That was just explosive. You know, Blue's acting out again, and Darla wants to be more a part of his life. What did you guys make of all of this?
First of all, I get it. She's a mama. The homies are in the house. There's a whole bunch going on. I mean, before that, I know we're talking about Blue pushing the little boy. So that brings up some concern. Like, wait, as a parent, we're co-parenting. Good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. We are co-parenting. Mm-hmm. This is something you've kept in the dark for me. So I'm going to come talk to you about this. Like, hey, keep me in the loop. Sidebar and side eye on Shorty staying in the house looking at Darla like, hey, she looking like a snack.
I think that like, when she first got out of the car at the beginning of the episode, he was like, oh, heck.
Hey,
oh,
I was like, no, pump your brakes, sir.
Exactly.
Anyway, that was a sidebar. I'm back on the road. So I'm like, okay, I get that as a mom. It's like, hey, okay, cool. Thanks for including me. All right, cool. We're going to have this powwow. Blue is deflecting, which I get it. Mm-hmm. And then we see why. Totally get it. Boom, boom, boom. To the big rev up. Listen, if I'm a mom and I walk into a house and people are drinking.
Hello, somebody.
And there's these strange men. And I'm sorry, I don't want to think the worst, but my mother raised me this way. My mother was always thinking the worst. Like some man was going to touch me or something's going to happen. I don't want you sitting on no one's lap. Like he's a little boy. Little boys get touched all the time by men. I'm not having it. I don't want no grown man that I don't know around my son. Point blank, period.
But
Ralph Angel didn't know him either, because when she was like, where's Ralph Angel? He was like, who?
Here's my question to you. If Ralph Angel knows about this, if he had known about this and these were his friends, is it fine? Right?
Well, no, because Ralph Angel wouldn't do it.
It's not fine.
No, but he's having a poker game with some friends. If Ralph Angel knows, it's obviously
alcohol,
it's an issue.
There's cussing. It's such a bad example. And I think that Darla showed her power in that moment. We've seen her show her power more and more. And I think in that moment, she really let it out. She put her foot down. Get out. But that is not her house. But she's going to get the hell out of here with my child. Get out.
I see where you are coming from. Because had this had been my house, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Because please believe, I'm on this train, this road, this sidebar, all of this of where you are going. But I must play devil's advocate a little bit, because I see where you're coming from. Yeah. Like, if this was my house, I'm Ralph Angel. I'm channeling Ralph right now. I'm Ralph Angel. This is my house. I have my friends over. Yeah. We're drinking. We're cussing. We're man talking. You know, that's just
my
what,
kids
what
wouldn't
they
be.
Do.
It wouldn't be my weekend.
Blue wasn't in the house, though.
No, Blue wasn't in the house.
He wasn't in the house. Blue wasn't in the house.
And assuming it's before his bedtime.
But
which,
I would
so it's
say,
like, you know.
If he came in... And he was expecting, like, Ralph Angel was expecting Darla to bring Blue. So, I mean, you got to be a little bit responsible there.
Well, he was on his date. But,
yeah, I was confused about the whole dynamic there.
So, the dynamic was this.
He wasn't ready.
Ralph Angel wasn't home. The dude decided, while Ralph Angel's out, I'm going to invite my friends, and my friends will be gone by the time Ralph Angel gets home.
Yeah, in that scenario...
He didn't ask.
He had the right to do that. And I know that's what I'm saying. Who gave him the right to do that?
In that scenario,
all,
he was wrong.
This ain't your house. Yeah. Second of all, I'm glad you stay here. Third of all, you hanging on by a little string.
Yeah, the Furley's got to go. He got to go.
And first of all, these random nobodies know where my house is and have been in my house and know where things are... If someone steps into your house and can tell you where you keep the refrigerator, where you keep the living room, where you keep the...
But I did think Darla overreacted without knowing. If she knew the scenario, she didn't overreact. But instead of walking in and going, well, where's Ralph Angel? What's going on here? I mean, when I was growing up, if I was home, my mom might have some friend over to play dominoes and they'd be drinking. But I was still a kid and I knew my place.
But Darla used to live there. She, like, I'm sorry, but... I'm sure that there is still a part of her that feels like that is still her home. Yeah, they broken up. They not together. But I'm sorry. That's how, like, as a woman, my child is here. I don't care. Get out. Get out this house. You're not having that around my child.
So you agree with it? Even if they were his friends, you agree with the same reaction?
Yes, because of the energy that they brought into that house, what they were doing. No, they're basically gambling at that table. I get it. They playing spades, but that's probably how she looked at it. This is not a good example for my child. My child comes first.
I think the fact that he was like Ralph Angel who and...
Well, that's another... Yeah, I think that's that, a problem.
Because she kind of came in like, okay, something's going on. Okay. Yeah. And then when she was like, where's Ralph Angel? She didn't yell, where's Ralph Angel? Right. She didn't come in loud. Like, right. she was like, where's Ralph Angel?
I guess she did finish strong. So
yeah, she didn't... Yes. So she, the way she reacted was completely appropriate because she gave it a minute. She was like, okay, my spidey sister up, but where's Ralph Angel? Because if I see Ralph Angel, he'll know that these people got to go now and we can move on. But when people was like, Ralph Angel, who? And he just walking like it, then that was the moment to
but
go crazy.
But notice,
so.
Ralph Angel, when he got there, he agreed. Yes. He did. You got to get all of the stuff and you got to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he was on the same page. There's nothing to argue about.
Yeah. That situation played out, I think, exactly the way that it needed to. Right. Well, that one, and then it
continues after that. What do you guys think about the family dynamic now? I mean, I guess we'll touch on predictions later on, but... I heard a lot of my mommy, you know, like my child, my son. So did anyone feel a type of way about the ownership of Blue not feeling like it is a full parenthood?
You saw my reaction because we were sitting side by side. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Because the fact that she just uses this, our child, your son, my son, she's flip-flopping. Yeah. So I need her to identify the truth in the matter of that's your son. I'm stepping in. So if you're going to call it our child, call Blue our son, continue that, you know. But she was like, I want my child my mommy and my, like,
to me, it's, I almost see Darla in the parole or the, is he on probation or parole, but I almost see him as the same way, because here's this guy, he's supposed to be walking on eggshells, he's letting you stay there. Here's Ralph Angel. You should be walking on eggshells in terms of you're the father. You're the like. She should be kind of, to me, reinforcing that over and over and over again, at least for the next 3-4 months, 6 months maybe, so that he feels secure in his place when you've already kind of ripped, you know, taken the rug from underneath him. And I feel like she's not doing that. She's not giving him that care.
Well, I feel like it's because this is not the same Darla that we've seen in the last two seasons. Again, she's a mature, she's a new, improved Darla. She is clean. She has gained her power back. So with that being said, what you're not about to do is tell me that I got to ask you for permission to see a son that is really my son and not yours.
But is that a Darla being petty, or is that a Darla getting her power back?
No, it's Darla who has gained her power back. Now, aside from all of this arguing and all this bickering, the only person that I'm really concerned about in this moment is Blue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am so concerned about... Let me just say this real quick. I am so concerned about Blue because what I'm afraid of is through all of this arguing and all this bickering, the truth is going to come out and he's going to hear it and he is going to... He already acting out now.
Feel like he already
That's
knows.
What I thought
like,
was going
to he's
happen.
Smart. He is very smart. Well, he might feel something.
Blue's biggest problem is he didn't have any home training. If Blue had been getting a little belt every now and then, Blue, to me...
Listen, I'm for you. Disciplining your kids, I'm all about that. Life.
To me, that's what... Honestly,
but
that's
don't
what
sleep on Ralph Angel. He's been disciplining him every now and then.
Did you see when he told him to go to the room and in that Ralph Angel voice that should scare anyone's child? And Blue was like, no, not having it. I was scared. I almost went to the room.
Well, his mom was there, too.
His mom was there.
I think, with Darla, I definitely love that she's getting her power back, but I just think the flip-flop thing is what's kind of set me off.
The
but
problem.
I think his mom was there, so he had to come. He had a safety net. You're seeing two people dispute
when the parents are not on a united front. Yeah. This is what happens, and the child's able to manipulate, whether it's consciously or unconsciously. The child's able to manipulate things given those factors. Do I think Darla's being petty? Yes or no? Subconsciously. To a certain degree, there's some pettiness there, because at the end of the day, you can't take away from the fact that for 3 years while you were, you know, on these drugs and prostituting, this man took care of this kid. Yeah. This kid could have been in foster care or lost. You could have lost him forever.
So let me ask you
this. He may not be biologically the father, but you cannot take away from had it not been for him, you might not even have your son.
And I wish that Ralph Angel would be vocal and say that. Because I think, honestly, and I agree, I think that Darla needs to be reminded. She needs to be reminded because I think she's getting so caught up in her power that she is starting to forget, baby.
Somebody needs to put her in her place, too.
I feel like he's trying.
I don't think that he is articulating himself well enough.
He didn't say it with his chest.
Because I think she does need a reminder. If he doesn't remind her, I foresee Nova or Charlie reminding her.
And they're going to remind her. Either way, I do think Blue needs a spanking. To me, this kid is like not. I mean, when he walked out of the room, even when Darla was saying, "Hey, what happened?" He's like, "Oh, let's go play," and left. I was like, "I could have never done that with my mom. I would never have gotten up and walked out of the room on my mom." But we'll see where that goes. We did have a couple small things I wanted to bring up, which was obviously the beautiful kiss with Trin, which you reacted to very like, "Whoa,
eye roll." I think I'm just a hater when it comes to Ralph Angel. Because I'm not necessarily team Ralph Angel and Darla. I don't know if that's ever repairable, but I don't know if I like
Trin.
I don't know. There's just something that just I don't know.
Anyway, I love it.
Maybe I'm just being a hater. That's it.
I love it because the first time you see Ralph Angel kiss him with no baggage, you're not the local woman down the street who's got, you know, whatever.
So we don't know her
yet. Yeah. So at least so far, all the women have been Darla who had all the baggage, and then these women that are kind of like the one offs with also baggage.
Right.
So it's like, oh, he's actually in a healthy thing, and he's this young guy.
Taking time.
Single.
They haven't had sex yet.
Yeah. For me, it was like a nice moment of a happiness for Ralph Angel where we haven't really seen him be like, sweetly happy in a while, right?
Candy rolling eyes.
Y'all ready for my pettiness?
Oh.
Ooh. First of all, Ralph Angel, I want to see you with no black man. All right. Let's be real. No, honestly, like, as I was studying this woman, Trin, that the writers have created her to be, this Trin woman, all I could think about is that she reminds me of Darla. There is something about her that reminds me of Darla. Like, I don't know. That's just the vibe that I kept getting. Like, I wrote that down in my notes. Like, I think they did a really good job making her very relatable to him. Like, you know, the fact that they both work for their family's business. And that's what I saw in his eyes. Like, wow, like, this girl gets it. She understands. And I feel like that's why he likes her. But, I just see Darla. I see another Darla, just more well put together. She's smart like Darla. Darla is smart. You know, she's educated like Darla, but she's just a little more put together.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Interesting. I'm interested to see your predictions.
Before we go into our special segments, I do want to acknowledge Nova. I'd like to do a round of applause for Nova. Can we just do a round of applause? This episode, she said no to Remy. She said, I don't know what's going to happen next episode, but this episode, she was like, nah, we're good.
Can we talk about the triflingness of Queen Sugar playing that Temptation song while she
was...
I was like, really, Queen Sugar? This is what we're doing? This is the song we're playing right now?
And she's
telling him, we can't do this?
The words that temptation is the game we always play. It was hilarious.
I just had to give her props for making that decision, that choice. Hopefully, I'm going to take my wins where I can get them.
I was about to say, I will say, people are powerful behind text messages.
Yeah. Hmm. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
There's a different vibe when it comes to physical encounters.
We got a small win. I'm going to take it.
We talk a big game when we be texting, and then when he in your face,
I am sick of his little vulnerable ass. Okay, Remy, now it's how many, like 200 women in the town?
And like your ass,
I'm sorry, my bad, 175 women in the town,
and you gotta go
shack up with Nova. Why are you trying to shack up with Nova? And Nova, you're trifling. And you know what? Let me say this, and I wrote this down. I got hella notes.
She's like, I wasn't here last week. I need all of this.
Listen to me, damn it. And this is what Vi said. It's always complicated with you. You're damn right. It's always complicated with you, Nova. What the hell is going on? You just cannot get it together. First, you thought
country coming out.
I am being country because I am pissed off. Okay,
Nova.
I just want you to be loved, but you just keep falling into all these trifling situations. Get it together, damn it! Because I believe in you. What happened to damn Dubois?
Right.
Get Dubois back. What is it? Writers, what the hell is Dubois? First time I like a damn guy, your ass got to go and run him off. I'm sick of this.
She's just went on a rant.
We definitely gotta get Rutina in here.
Okay,
now,
sorry,
right?
guys. Rutina, we need you. Come through.
We got some questions to
let
answer.
Let me retain my country. Bring your country back. Sorry.
Well, let's get on to our special segment of sweet tweets. Hopefully, you have some sweet tweets in the episode.
I sure do.
I got a couple.
Who wants to go first?
Sometimes you just gotta let it hurt.
Yeah.
That moment with the kids in high school, I really love that because, you know, you do. You have to allow yourself to feel the pain so you can go through it and then move forward. There's no other way to do it. It sucks. But if you got to sit there and cry your eyes out, if you got to get mad and break some stuff that's not other people's stuff, yes, do that. So that's one for me. Another one that I wrote down for my sweet tweets was the one I already mentioned. People don't need to know I have a weakness. I was like, whoa, what's that about? But mama raised me to be a wife and a mother. It just wasn't me. I wanted my own dream. Because as a Afro-Latina woman, I that's real. Like, when I wanted to move out of my mother's house, I was in my mid-20s still. I was like, I'm still in my mama's house? And my family was really against me moving out. Like, you're going to be a horrible daughter. How could you move out and not help your own mom? Yeah. Because what, you going to move down the street to Harlem? And, you know, like, but moving across the country was more supported. And even that, my grandmother was like, you live in California with who? By yourself? You ain't got no man? You're not married? You know, like,
what are you doing?
And I'm like, but it's 20, you know. But again, you know, that is real. We're in that whole old school. We're raised to be wives and mothers. That's real.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
Don't take your headphones off yet.
Not yet.
You got one? Okay.
Sweet tweets. Surviving and dreaming are two separate things. When I heard that, I was like, that's interesting. I think that it speaks to a lot of people that have dreams. And sometimes surviving does get in the way. But I want to take this to a motivational moment that sometimes dreaming teaches you how to survive, you know, because it's like, man, this dream could either fail or you can do whatever it takes and still make it happen. So I feel like that's what Vi has done through this situation. She's been nothing but a survivor. And it's been beautiful just to see her dreams emerge from surviving. So I really like surviving and dreaming are two separate things. Also, I really like...
Look here, y'all can't be taking multiple ones because y'all might say what I might say.
I'm going to let you have it. Okay, this is my last one. I'm going to make it quick. I never dreamed big enough. I didn't give myself permission.
Oh my gosh,
this
I know it!
Can we say it together?
Yeah, well, why don't you say it together in unison?
This is together, guys.
I thought I felt it, girl, because we were on the same wavelength. I was like, ooh, she going to say it? I got to call
That's
it out.
That's what I love about this panel, y'all. We always on the same wave. Y'all look great.
It's okay. You can.
I had
Vi's let's do this when she accepts the offer to move forward. Just the tone of her voice, the way she was ready to accept it, and even the shakiness. Because remember, we talked about this earlier. Vi's uncomfortable in the home of white people to begin with. So this whole setup is like completely foreign for her, and then they're offering her help, and they want to really grow and then do it in a fair way for her. So that to me was her moment of courage and like jumping in. So I really love that from Vi. And then, of course, you have Charlie hearing, you can't change what Davis did. You can only find peace with it. I think that's so much times in our life that we're always going to ourselves, if only this could have been different. How could I have seen it before? How come I didn't see it on his face, she was talking about. But forget about it. All I got to do is make peace with it because it's already happened. It's the past. Right. Nothing can be changed. So that was like a real effective line for me, but
come on, y'all.
That's plenty. There's plenty in this.
Plenty of stuff.
We should just download the script and just start reading it. But a real live read. But Sally, I believe you have got some Culture Corner news for us.
All right, Culture Corner. Hey, y'all. So your girlfriend Sally here was on the scene. It was BET Awards this weekend.
Yes.
And I ran into Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Anyway, Omar Dorsey was out and about for the BET Awards. We were at the after party. I said hi. I told him he needs to come on the show, so we're going to try to work that out. But he just did an interview with People Magazine, and the 42-year-old actor Omar Dorsey said that Queen Sugar has helped him become a leading man. And he's thanking all of us and people who tweeted and stuff that really said, like, man, I want a man like Hollywood. And it's really helped reposition him in the business, and now he's getting offered roles as an actor, as a leading man, where before he always played like a gangster or a comedian. So this show has really changed everything. So he said, quote, "I might not be the conventional leading man, but at the end of every Wednesday, Twitter and Instagram is flooded with what I just say, I need a man just like Hollywood. And people start seeing me in that light. So the roles I'm getting now are the leading man. So I really appreciate it.
That's amazing.
I've been acting on film and television for 20 years and I've never, I think, have had one." He said he thinks he's had only one female director his whole life until wow. Queen Sugar. And now I work with maybe 15 to 20 of the best directors in the business who happen to be
wow. That's what I love, that's that amazing. Queen Sugar put like the actors and the obviously the directors that have been booked since first season. Like mm-hmm. they can't even come back to Queen Sugar because they have other extensions with different shows now as a result. So
yeah, it's awesome.
We're in a beautiful sort of awakening of I think black culture on television and in film. So
and
so
the power. And the power of supporting one another.
Yeah.
Like, so just being power. Happy for one another to for someone to have their success.
Yeah.
It goes a long way.
Culture Corner.
Corner.
Yes. And now for our predictions.
Ooh.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Takira, you gotta go first because we took your quote.
No.
We took your sweet tweet.
Because you know what? I don't even really... I have some stuff, but it's not really, you know, I'm going to let y'all go. Cause I'm going to let y'all roll with it.
Let me get Charlie. What do you see for her?
I think Candy touched on it. I definitely think. I mean, we said a couple episodes ago, she'll find her power. She'll get back on track. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
Does she sleep with Jacob Landry at any point this season?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Does Nova sleep with Remy?
It's just me.
Oh.
I definitely think something's going to happen. I will say that because I feel like... I feel like Remy's going to catch her off guard. She's going to be a little, maybe not full out, but something's going to happen. Yeah. A little deeper than just that.
Temptation has been her weakness.
Why don't we all answer that question and then also do your other prediction? But start off with the Jacob, Charlie, and also Nova Remy.
Jacob, Charlie, no. Mary and Jordan even said the same thing, that it was just the liquor. That's mine.
Yeah. Yep. And then what do you think?
Remy and Nova?
Yeah. Remy and Nova, unfortunately, yes. All right. And I'm going to be pissed. But I'm done.
The damn Jacob.
And if you have other predictions, but yeah, start with those two, and then if you have others,
the damn Jacob.
Yeah.
No, because Hell hath no fury, and Charlie is back. When it comes to Nova ass, I want to say that I feel like temptation has been her weakness through all three episodes. Mm. So I don't know.
I'm going to go the opposite with you guys. I'm going to say Nova and Remy, no. I just can't believe Nova would make that choice. Especially because Charlie blew her off and she still told him. I thought that blow off was going to mean she was going to go, like, hey, yo, what's up, Remy? But, and she still was like, no, this can't happen. So, regardless of the relationship with her sister, she kind of seems to know not to hit that territory up. I think Charlie and Landry, yes. And I think it'll be Charlie will do it from a cold place, and I think she'll do it only to get his defenses down. So I think it'll be very just a calculated thing for Charlie.
Oof.
I think Charlie's very removing cold. Herself from the realm of like being emotionally tied to someone.
I and will so I think say that's what we're if that happens, see. I will lose a lot of respect, I think, for her at that point.
But you know what? For her, it is no longer about any of that. Like, all of her, I agree. I feel like all of her emotions have been stripped from her. Mm-hmm. Every single thing.
Because what else can you do to her?
And if she finds out, because I feel like she's going to find out about Remy and Charlie, that will be the final straw.
Of course she does. Already putting up Ben in the show.
Yeah. At least Nova, delete your text messages. Just delete them so she can't even see what's going on.
The truth comes to light regardless. Not that he tried to plant this seed about how to smart about it.
Well, it looks like next episode we're going to get some real concrete answers. Well, guys, thank you for joining us. As always, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Yes, be sure to tune in next week. It is your girl, Miss Candy Marie. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Candy Marie and on Twitter at Sweet Candoria TV.
Your favorite Afro-Latina, hang out with me at all things at Selly Hangout and on The 6th right here on AfterBuzz TV Dramas.
Yes, and you can find me, Takira Shabray, on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Shabray.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.